What's up, guys? I'm Candace Dillard-Bassett, and you may know me from my time on The Real Housewives of Potomac or as a part of the latest cast of The Traitors.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus.
On our podcast, Undomesticated, we don't just say the quiet parts out loud. We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you into the chaos.
If you're ready for bold takes, real talk, and a little fun, come join us.
Listen to and follow Undomesticated, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Drs. Andrea Dennis and Eva Saranovich take your pet health questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Good afternoon and welcome to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis.
And I'm Dr. Eva Saranovich.
We're from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital, and on Saturdays we alternate with Lori Fass, who is the pet trainer, to answer your questions, to be able to have an opportunity and a chance to speak with you about your pets, their health, their well-being. We like to primarily concentrate on medicine if we can. Sometimes some of the behavior aspects of their lives come into being just symptoms of medical conditions. So we are happy to go into that realm in terms of questions as well. But we are open to anything. And that's why we love having you call in at 860-522-9842 or 1-800-966-9842. Even though this is a show that lasts about an hour, we always recommend if you can call in a little bit earlier, this way we can guarantee we will get you on the air and we will answer your question. It looks like a sort of old timers week here today.
It's true.
We walked in and Garden Talk had a full house.
Full house of old timers. Yes. Not that they're old. They've just been here on the show before.
Right. And we were reminiscing how many years we've all been doing this, but we enjoy being here. And Mike is one of I guess he's not a rookie anymore, but our producer Mike has been around for a while. But, it's just been a pleasure and an honor to be here on the air and to share our knowledge with you. And what we try to do is point you in the right direction about seeking help and about your pets. We never claim to diagnose over the phone or diagnose over the air, but we can tell you if this is definitely something that you should see your veterinarian for at times, and other times the right questions to ask, because your pets can't do that. And we also try to make sure your pets stay safe.
Right.
We're all about prevention. And it's one of my favorite holidays, but yet I don't do a lot for it. It's just, it's my husband's birthday.
True. So it should be your favorite holiday.
Okay.
And you should do a lot. I'm sorry. I won't go there.
No, he's very low-key about his birthday. But February 14th and Valentine's Day, and I have an adult son now, so it's not as big a deal with school anymore, but your son is still in school.
Gonna have to get the Valentines together, yes.
Yes, we do. But, Valentine's Day is a day that should be fun for humans, and it can be fun for pets as long as we keep dangerous items out of their reach. And we're going to just mention some of the top five or six things that we know that pets get into every year. We get more calls than usual about these items. We know that poison control, they see a rise in cases around this time. And it usually does begin around February 1st. Mm-hmm. People start buying things. And you're going to start us off with one of the things that we really want people to be careful with.
As far as all the flowers that we want to get for Valentine's Day, some of them can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Lilies are very toxic to cats. All parts of the lily can cause kidney failure. There are other plants that can be toxic, but the other thing to remember is we get a lot of roses, and if they ingest the thorns, that can cause major problems. You can get puncture wounds in the mouth. You can get puncture wounds elsewhere if they're holding on to the thorn. If you swallow it, it's going to cause gastrointestinal upset. So it's a good idea to A, put the flowers where they can't reach them, and B, look and make sure if there's nothing toxic in there. And there's actually the ASPCA poison control. If you go online, you can actually find their poisonous plant charts, and you can look things up that are in the bouquet. But it's important to be careful with that.
Yeah, and the obvious and the most common problem that we associate with February 14th is chocolate. And we have spoken time and time again here about chocolate being very dangerous to dogs in particular. Cats, we don't see as much of a problem, but you know, it's a stimulant. It's got caffeine in it, and it affects their GI tract and it affects them neurologically, even their heart. And if you suspect that your dog has gotten into any chocolate, you need to call your veterinarian. We calculate what's dangerous based on what type of chocolate it is and how much your dog weighs. So if one of the worst chocolates we know is that Baker's chocolate. So again, we've joked on this show, we don't have Baker's chocolate in our house because we don't bake, but it is really very concentrated. Mm-hmm. So those of you that do, just be very careful not to allow your dog to get even into the smallest amount if possible. And dark chocolate is more dangerous than milk chocolate. So, and then white chocolate has very little amount of the substance that really causes a problem. And if you kind of suspect they may have gotten into some chocolate, not only call your veterinarian, but if you see any vomiting or diarrhea or they seem hyperactive, then you have a little high suspicion that they need to be treated. But the other issue is that it generally has high fat content, and that can lead to inflammation of the pancreas, or what we call pancreatitis. So there's many reasons to keep your pets away from the chocolate.
And the other thing is, if they do get into it and it's off hours and you're just not sure, remember the poison control number that you can call, which is 888-426-4435, and they can help you out. There is a fee for it, but boys, it's worth its weight in gold.
It is, and when you do call in, they give you a number that's associated with that case report. Mm-hmm. And I had one recently, a little dog that ate a small ibuprofen, and it was very dangerous for him. And we could call as many times with the experts for days, right, on that case report. So one time fee, but it's very, very helpful, and they work with your veterinarian. So then, of course, one of the things that we like to be careful with ourselves.
Yes,
you've
got to be careful with cocktails. If you're celebrating with champagne or some wine or some pretty martinis for the holiday, pretty pink martinis, I guess you would do, right?
Yes.
Just remember that animals are smaller than we are, mm-hmm. So a little lick or two can be a problem. Mm-hmm. So make sure you keep that out of the way, because they can cause vomiting and diarrhea. They can cause depression, central nervous system depression, some trouble breathing. I mean, if they really get into it, it can be a problem. So make sure you keep those away from them.
And some people like treats. They may be diabetic and cannot have, they need sugar-free treats, and they are sometimes sweetened with a product that called xylitol. And there aren't many words that begin with X. So when you really want to read your packaging on things that are potentially sugar-free, and even if you're not sure if it's sugar-free, still always look at the ingredients. And that word is xylitol, X-Y-L-I-T-O-L. And we see it commonly in sugarless gum, candy. We're now seeing it in sugarless peanut butter quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people use peanut butter as a treat for their pets. They put them in their Kongs or their toys, and we want to stay away from that. That it is really dangerous. It can cause a very sudden drop in their blood sugar, what we call hypoglycemia, and it can lead to depression and seizures. So please, please stay away from that. We also see it in toothpaste, believe it or not, in human toothpaste. And that's why, even though we recommend brushing your dog's teeth and your cat's teeth, please stay away from human toothpaste to do that. It's very important. So no xylitol. Mm-hmm.
The other thing to watch out for is there's often candlelight for Valentine's Day. So you need to be careful. Not only can they hurt themselves and burn themselves with the candles, they can knock them over and set the house on fire. So mm-hmm. you've got to be very safe with that and never leave them unattended around burning candles.
Right. We've seen little tails get burnt off and things
like
that.
Cat whiskers.
Yes, get singed. Mm-hmm. And finally, if you are wrapping gifts and you're trying to make things pretty with ribbons, be careful not to leave that around after you do wrap things, even balloons, just the strings that are attached to the balloons that may fall to the ground after, you know, a balloon has deflated over time. These little stringy things pets are attracted to. They seem fun to chew because they can break them apart, but they can get lodged in our pets' throats and their digestive tract. And we've even had some cats and dogs that actually have had to have surgery to remove right. those pieces. So we want you to have fun with your Valentine's Day, but at the same time, please keep your pets safe at the same time. All right. Okay, so we're going to allow... I'll open those phone lines again, and we have Helen that has been very patiently waiting. And Helen, how are you today? Do I have you, Helen?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
There you are.
Here I am.
I knew I'd catch you.
Right.
How's things going?
Fine. Everything's fine so far.
Okay.
I have an 8-pound Maltese. Last April, she went for her shots, distemper, parvo, hepatitis, and Lyme.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, she rebounded from the shots, made her spinal fluid swell up. As the Maltese are inbred dogs, the cerebellum was hanging out of her cranium, pressing on the spinal fluid, and I was in hell for a month with a dog screaming in pain. It's like a sciatica of the neck.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had to have MRIs and $4,000 MRIs and Lord knows what else. But my concern now that we're out of it, after 5 different medications every 4 hours for over a month, my concern is I don't want to get any more shots for this dog.
I know. I don't blame you.
For rabies. Mm-hmm. And the other problem is to have her teeth cleaned. She's really not a candidate for anesthesia anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And so you know that this is very unusual and that what happened. How old was your Maltese when this first happened?
She's 9.
She's 9 years old. And so did she go to, was she work, did a neurologist work with her? Did she have a specialist that was on her case?
Dr. Perkins, Piper Memorial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Her life.
Yeah. She is a neurologist, neurosurgeon.
Yep.
And she does amazing, amazing job. So, I think, and I'm sure you're starting to have the dialogue with your veterinarian about this, because we cannot blame you for being nervous about giving any vaccine. If this is, you know, this, it's been determined that this was vaccine related. Is that what they're saying for sure?
Oh, yeah. It's called a rebound.
Okay.
It happened the day right after she'd had the shots.
Okay. But what we run a problem is with, and again, we would only recommend you have this, you know, conversation with your veterinarian, maybe even bring Dr. Perkins, bring someone that's involved in her past treatment to have this discussion. Our problem with saying, you can't give it to her, or you're okay not giving it with a rabies vaccine, it's state law. So what we have had to do with cases, not something like this specifically, where we felt there was a dog that the health benefit or was just not worth it. There was just too much risk involved in giving even a rabies vaccine. Now, it's very rare when we feel that way, but we have to go through the state veterinarian. And it has to be documentation from the state veterinarian. And it's a tough process to go through. Because if for some reason, and it's not that it can't be done, Helen, but I would just want you to get started on it sooner rather than later. Are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just leery about giving her any shots at all.
Because, understood.
She's an indoor dog. She goes out of a doggy door, does her business, and comes in. She's not exposed to anything rabid like a raccoon or a skunk or anything. She's really
right.
not exposed to a rabies-bearing animal.
Right. Well, that's where they do get, and that's another thing that goes into the paperwork that we send into the state veterinarian. We speak to her over the phone. But your veterinarian will help you go through those steps. Now, if you say, well, listen, I'm just not going to tell anybody and I'm just going to keep it to myself, then that is your right. But legally, you know, because rabies is a disease that people can get, and it's really pretty much anyone that catches rabies, it's fatal. I'm just telling you what the law is, Helen, and how you can work with it. And the state veterinarian is very, very, She makes sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, but she's not going to force a situation that's going to put your baby at risk.
No,
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people don't realize that these inoculations all at once are maybe too much for an 8-pound dog.
Well, I think we have different theories on that. Like, we generally do space the vaccines out with not just small dogs, but sometimes with larger dogs. I will say that this is very unusual if this is indeed what happened and indeed what caused it. I have not personally seen this, and I've been practicing for decades.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's how rare what you're describing has, because I don't want to frighten people about vaccinations because, again, they save lives. We're going to talk about leptospirosis in the next few weeks. Lepto is something that we generally, it can cause severe liver failure. So I in terms of what you legally have to do, we're going to guide you that way. But you shouldn't start having that conversation with your veterinarian about this, okay? So they can guide you completely the right way, and they know the past. So we understand, but your veterinarian will listen.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Helen.
Thank you very much. And you girls, thank you for helping me.
Sure.
And I just let people know that some of these dogs that are inbred have these basic problems, like the small craniums and things like that.
Right. Thank you. Yes.
People ought to be aware when they get a small dog that this is a problem.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Have a great day.
You too.
God bless.
Bye-bye now. All right, we're going to go right to a break, and then we're going to address some of those top issues that we were talking about here, and kind of, we don't want there to be any confusion out there about vaccines. We'll be right back with more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk.
Can you feel the love tonight? It is where we are. It's enough for this one.
Welcome back. It is our Valentine's talk show. It's Pet Talk. We're the veterinarians from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, along with Dr. Eva Saranovich. And if you need to get in touch with us or have a question that just doesn't get handled here on the air, we have a website that you can go to with lots of information, both about chocolate and about how do you try to get your pet to vomit if they did get into some chocolate. Just go to Bloomfield Animal Hospital CT.com. That's Bloomfield Animal Hospital CT.com. You can contact us through our website. But we're here on Saturdays as well, where you can call in and talk to us. And we have, the Helen was talking about a potential worry about not vaccinating her dog for rabies because she's concerned about any risk that it may lead because she has a very small dog, 8-pound Maltese. And, you know, we were just saying that rabies for cats and dogs, it's illegal. It's a legality. And that's because, again, even if cats don't go outside, they are mainly indoor cats, it's still something that's required by law. But your veterinarian can go through a whole appeal process and work with the state veterinarian.
Yeah, and I think the important part with that too is, again, you don't want to give rabies if it's going to endanger the animal. But an important thing to keep in mind is that regardless of how little an animal is outside, there is still a risk there. You can get a bat in the house. We've had those cases.
Yeah, we have.
I actually had a Maltese that lived in Hartford that the only place it went outside was a screened porch, and a rabid raccoon broke through the screen and attacked that dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, again, if it's going to endanger the health of your animal, and we don't know the particulars about exactly what happened to this dog, we don't know what caused his or her neurologic signs. But I think I don't want people to be frightened of getting a vaccine that is it's a hazard to your animal, rabies.
Right.
And
right.
If a person contracts rabies, there are no treatments for rabies.
Right.
And it will kill you.
Right.
So these are conversations you need to have with your veterinarian about your particular case and what's right.
And I think veterinarians, as a group, we're not just saying every dog needs every vaccine or right. every cat needs every vaccine. It depends on their lifestyle. We're making a recommendation. We normally don't necessarily vaccinate someone that has leptospirosis that's very tiny. We don't vaccinate dogs that are not healthy enough. So we're going to come back with another half hour of show, but we have to go to news. So you're listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in and follow my lead. Well, I found a girl, beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. 'Cause we were just kids when we fell in love.
Can't you just see a big red heart just kind of pumping for Valentine's Day? We have a few love songs on track here for bringing us back from the news. You're listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis and Dr. Eva Saranovich, and we are here primarily every 2 weeks to take your calls and answer your questions. I think sometimes we don't always think about how people, when they go home and they have this maybe two or three medications and can't necessarily remember what was said, you know, how they digest the information that we give during the visit can sometimes be baffling for us, because we live it every day, and we try to break things down as easily. We write lots of things down when people come in so that they have it. Obviously, all medications, prescriptions have a label on it. But even with a label, we have seen many times where people misread the label. Oh, I thought you said a whole tablet. Well, no, the label says a half a tablet. Right. So, you know, again, read those labels. And we also were talking about some other things that you can do to make your veterinary visits better for everyone. Mm-hmm. And let me just throw out the phone numbers, because we do have some open phone lines so that you can call in now. It'd be a great time for you to call. And that's 860-522-9842 or 1-800-966-9842, and we will get you on the air and talk to you about your pets. But you've found something that really kind of summarizes how a visit can go so much better for the owner, the pets, and even the veterinarian staff.
Yeah, so you know, the first part of getting your animal to the veterinary hospital is the car ride. So making car rides better, and getting animals used to, getting cats used to cat carriers, leaving the cat carrier out, putting, you know, things in it to make it attractive to them. Some cats, if they're awful when they go to the veterinary hospital and the car ride's terribly stressful, talk to your veterinarian about medications you can use. Mm-hmm. Getting dogs used to the car, so that's not you don't want the very first start to the animal hospital be so stressful and unhappy for everybody.
Right.
So if you're having a tough time, call your veterinarian, ask for some tips on what do I do.
Right. And when you're talking about making that first couple of visits very easy going, puppies are and kittens are usually great about this. But when we have a new dog that may be, you know, moving into the state, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and people say, well, can you trim their nails while they're here? Mm-hmm. And if that's their first visit and they hate having their nails trimmed, we will usually say, let them just get used to us. Let them just know where the treat jar is. Let them know before we, you know, maybe do something that's we know is going to cause a stress for
exactly.
them. And speaking of that, if your veterinarian doesn't already have the pet's medical records on file, then if you're just sort of moving into state or you have a previous veterinary team that needs to send or fax the records ahead of time, I cannot tell you how helpful that is. If we have 30 pages of records, we have to kind of read them right when the owner walks in the door, we really do read them several days ahead of time. We'll sort of make an outline of questions that we have. So that's really very helpful for your next veterinary team. And then if you don't have the records for whatever reason, at very minimum, bringing in receipts and some of your own notes about what happened in your pet's past health, that would be really helpful for your next visit.
Try to arrive on time or early. You'll be less stressed. It'll go smoother. We'll have more time for you.
Yes, it will.
And since I'm chronically late person, I think it's funny that I am saying this, but it does, Mike. I personally, since I'm chronically late, I know how much better it is when you arrive on time or early. So
yes.
I'm much less stressed then. It'll be a better visit.
It is. And we have, like, people will sit in the parlor. Coming in early is really very mm-hmm. good. And then the thing is, if you are chronically late, We know that.
Yes, we do.
We keep track of it. So we will tell people to come in at 10:15, but
yes.
that we knowing that their appointment really is 10:30.
Somebody probably does that to me.
I bet they do. Because we're like, I mean, we keep all those little notes, little asterisks, you know, chronically late, or even the ones that come chronically early.
Yes.
You know, we have some great patients and clients, and they're early, and we're like, okay. So we do help plan. All right. Unless your children are perfectly well behaved and you have more than four, I would say, you know, if you can, sometimes bringing the dog, a cat, two dogs, and three or four children, if they're not going to be well behaved in the during the visit, then maybe it's best to have a babysitter.
Yeah, because it can be tough for kids. I mean, if it's taking half an hour to do all the work and talk some serious conversations about your animal and what's going on with them, it can be really tough for kids to sit still that long. That's right. Not easy.
And we love children. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone at the office has children, and we have toys for them. We have, like, little veterinary kits for mm-hmm. them. But sometimes you can just tell the owner can't concentrate.
Right.
And then you're in a facility that has other animals around it. So where else are you going to bring children that you can't monitor when there's other
right.
pets around? So just keep that in mind. Again, we love kids,
and it's
for their safety.
And if they have to come, we're, like as you said, we're prepared.
We are ready. Believe it.
Turn your cell phone off
mm-hmm.
in the examining room.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking to you, we appreciate cell phones being off. We
yes.
really do. I mean, in between, if you need to entertain yourself because we need to perform some treatments on your animal, you go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But please don't talk on your cell phone when I'm trying to talk to you.
Please, that would be helpful. It's also important, know what medications your pet is receiving, and even supplements. If you can kind of keep a running list of those things when you come in, because sometimes people don't remember the names of what they have. We try to have certain things on record, but I cannot, again, stress enough that we don't know everything. We know that sometimes people are giving things over the counter. We know sometimes they're giving supplements. I most recently had one that had their liver enzymes went up on the blood test all of a sudden, and it turns out they were giving CBD products and not telling me about it. And until I brought up the liver enzyme being up, then they said, well, could it be the products that we're using?
Right.
So, you know, supplements, even though they're not FDA regulated, they're important in the scheme of things in as far as your pet's history is concerned for us as veterinarians. So let us know.
And when you write that list of medications that you're going to bring with you, write down the food you're feeding them to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's...
That's a good point and on the it's, food.
And we all do this. You know, you sit down and somebody asks you suddenly what you're feeding. And although you know, and you go to the store every month and buy it, suddenly you can't remember just because you're being put on the spot.
Right. And we get a lot of food questions, but mm-hmm. yeah, you're exactly right with that.
Write down before you come in mm-hmm. every observation and concern you have so you don't forget. Because we are happy to answer. That's what we're there for.
Mm-hmm.
We're there to address your concerns. We're there mm-hmm. to answer your questions. So if you... And I know that sometimes I'll go to the doctors for myself and I leave and I'll go, oh, why didn't I write that down? I forgot to ask.
Right.
Write it down. It just bring it in and we can go through everything. Lists are wonderful to go through.
They are. And we have many time where when there's a couple, if one person is at home and can't come in, they will often write
right.
a list. And that's really quite beneficial. And then we'll just answer each question
right.
so that there's good communication. Because your observations, because your pets can't talk to you, I know this is obvious, but your observations are like us asking, you know, your dog, does they have a headache? You know, that tells mm-hmm. us so much information. And also ask us questions. You know, we are happy to be as explicit about certain things. We can be, if it's over your head, we'll just say, okay, no, that's not enough. We'll show you things and we'll have, mm-hmm. I'll have somebody, like, I had a horrible thing today and I took a picture of it. She didn't want to see it. She didn't want to see what I was seeing. And, right. and I said, okay, well, but we have a picture because I'm going to monitor if it's getting worse or better.
And if you get home and you remember a question, call us.
Okay, that's a good point.
The other thing is, if you want more information about what we've told you about, ask us. We can get you brochures. We can guide you. We can get you some literature on it so that we, because we'd like to know that where we're sending you online to mm-hmm. look at this is an accurate place, so you're not getting misinformation. So ask us for more information. We're happy to do that.
Well, I think those are good tips, mm-hmm. you know, make it nice and easy. And the last big one before we go to our quick break, please don't bring a retractable leash.
Please, I just read an article recently about, well, first of all, we've all always discussed the animal's not under control, because if you don't have it hooked properly, or if the little clip, mm-hmm. little thing breaks, because they do, and right. now they're loose, they're essentially loose.
Yes.
But the number of injuries people get from retractable leashes, breaking fingers, mm-hmm. having the leashes break off and getting hit in the eye. I mean, there's, mm-hmm. it's so... Please don't use a retractable leash.
Yeah, if they want to use it, I mean, we prefer not to use it, but, you know, if we're not saying that, you know, never tell people what they absolutely can't do, but it's not safe, and bring them to the animal hospital, you really don't have control. So that's what we're asking. Can you just use a nice six foot, you know, lead and bring them in that way?
We used to have a client who unfortunately has since passed, but she would come in every time for her visit and say to me, you know, I listen to you on the radio. You see, I am not using my retractable leash. She'd come in with her little Amy and say that to me every single time.
She was as cute as a button, mm-hmm. too. All right, we're going to have about 15 minutes left after we take this break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. We are listening to the last 10 minutes here of Pet Talk, where Dr. Andrea Dennis and Dr. Eva Saranowicz, we're from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And we, on Saturdays, every other Saturday, we do alternate and we take your phone calls. And Kelly, you have some sad news for us, and hopefully we can help you with this. We're very sorry to hear about the loss. You had a lab.
Yeah, a 12-year-old lab, mm-hmm. and she was fine. You know, she didn't have any health issues. Mm-hmm. And one day she woke up and she was fine. She was her usual self. And 3 hours later, she got up again and she like kept staring like she didn't know where she was. Mm. And she went outside to go to the bathroom. She came in and she just collapsed. And then she was having trouble breathing and she let out a few yelps and she just died.
I am so sorry, Kelly. And I know, did the veterinarian have any idea?
Well, we didn't really talk to him. We didn't really get to see him after we were supposed to be bringing her to the vet, but we never got there. We did bring her later to have them, you know, cremate her, but right. we didn't get to talk to the vet. And I've been wanting to call him, but
I know.
It's hard to start talking about it and you just start crying. So.
I know.
Sometimes it's easier talking to strangers.
Yeah.
You know? and we have a couple of thoughts. I mean, we would never even pretend that we could diagnose what happened, but we do see, you know, 12-year Labrador retrievers at that age that will pass. And some of the things we see we can address, but
I mean, one of the things I think of when it's something that they seemed fine mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, and this happens so suddenly, and kind of when you're talking about that staring off into space, sometimes you can have tumors in the abdomen that will bleed,
yeah.
and they'll bleed
yeah.
very suddenly. And there's not a lot you can do at that point. They just suddenly bleed into their abdomen, and they get very weak, so that you'll kind of... This actually happened to one of my dogs, and she had been fine, and she stood up and looked at me, and I noticed that she kind of rocked back and forth a little bit, and then when I lifted up her gum, she was totally white, and she had been, before she was sleeping next to me in the living room, before that happened, she was completely normal.
Yeah.
So something like that can be that sudden, and kind of present the way you're saying, and they'll breathe faster because they don't have, when you have that little blood circulating, you're not getting enough oxygen, so they'll breathe faster when that happens too. So that's one of my thoughts.
Right. Yeah. And generally, if that's the case, if it is the spleen that has a tumor that's bleeding, it's rare that we can save them, you know, in terms of, I don't want you to feel guilty with when one passes like that, that, oh, geez, if I had seen something sooner or noticed something 2 days before and brought her in. Generally, it's even when people do bring them to us, we x-ray them and we can see there's an abdomen, you know, that has quite a bit of fluid or blood in it. And, if it is a tumor, a lot of times they're cancerous. So even if you remove the spleen, you don't necessarily allow for more time.
And I also don't think of it as necessarily painful, because it's more that you get weak. It's not that
that's
you.
That's what it was. I seemed like she just like her rear end started wobbling.
Yeah, that's it.
That's probably the most common thing that comes to the top of my head.
Yeah, because when I talked to the breeder, she said she might have had a tumor that just, you know, but we weren't aware of her having any tumors. But
And lots of times that is the first indication. It's not that uncommon that the first indication is that they bleed.
Right. Mm. And we'll have it. And another history sometimes is like, though, then when we do see a patient like this, then sometimes maybe 3 weeks earlier, they seem like they were a little bit off for a day, but then they rebound it like nothing happened. And sometimes they'll have a little bit of a slow bleed and then it will heal or seal itself. And then they're fine for several weeks or months and then they'll bleed again. But they're still, you know, you can obviously tell from your voice, you loved her. You loved her very well and deeply. And the losses, there's just too many emotions that go along with this grief that we don't want you to add guilt to it, because you obviously took good care of her.
I wonder, like, was there something we missed? You know?
No, honestly.
We've just lost another one 6 months ago, but he was 13 and he had really, his hips were really going and stuff. And
I'm sorry.
So between the two of them, it's
that's awful. I'm
like
so sorry.
The house is so empty.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then you say, I'm not ready to get another dog and go through that.
No.
A little down the road.
But you can't, you can't sit there and ask that. You know, you can't do that. Again, these things, often the very first sign we see is that they've bled into their stomach, into their abdomen badly, and people lose them. That is not an uncommon history at all, and there's nothing that you are going to do to make that different.
Right.
Well, makes me feel better, I guess.
That we can't take the pain away, but we can take the, we don't want you to beat yourself up, but we can take that away, because that's not on you.
Yeah.
It's not on you, Kelly, but we hope at some point that you will open up your heart again.
We will.
Okay.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
House is not a home without the dog.
It isn't. We completely understand, Kelly. Well, we're thinking about you, and good luck with everything.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
I don't know if we helped, but
that's hard.
That would be the first thing that comes to mind in terms of what would happen. Mm-hmm. When she talks about, I remember it when I had my two cats, and we had one cat that we knew had kidney failure, and she was arthritic, and we were always worried about her.
Right.
And then the young little cat, no problem. And then all of a sudden the young cat got sick.
I remember that.
You know, and it's like, boom, you just don't. And we all know we do our best. We do our best taking care of our pets. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're going to, if we can, we just have a few minutes left. I think we're going to switch. We did have some things in the news about that we wanted to share with people, too.
Yeah, it's a little happier things. One of them is actually about a 12-week-old yellow Labrador Retriever puppy named Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Spike has joined Atlanta United, which is their major league soccer team, to become, basically, their puppy training. Mm-hmm. They're going to have him as a mascot, and they're going to socialize him like crazy, because he is from America's Vet Dogs, which is an association that will train them to benefit veterans in PTSD and anxiety, and as assistance dogs. So They named the dog Spike, and they are training it, and they are going to teach him tricks and tasks and train him and get him well socialized so he'll be ready to help somebody. So that's really nice. And they're hoping that other teams will do the same thing and basically help champion the cause, because these dogs are expensive to train and raise. Ugh. And they are needed, and they need them badly, and so they're hoping that other teams will help take this on too.
Yeah, and if you can I just sort of piggyback on that, that we have that would be more of a service trained dog.
Correct.
And we've had a couple of people, and including some of the news media, call us about the hearing that the U.S. Department of Transportation was thinking about changing some rules on the airlines. And we'd want to make it it's like they've got a 60-day posting period, and they're trying to make a ruling on comfort animals.
Right. These are not comfort animals. Right. These are service dogs.
Right. So I think we have to make that distinction, mm-hmm. to make sure that these service dogs are trained, or service pets are only dogs, and they're trained for a certain mission.
Right. The group that does this says it costs them about $50,000 right. to completely train these dogs and make them ready to be a service dog.
Right.
So.
But if you have a comfort dog or a comfort pet, then you want to go online and look at what they're
exactly
not doing.
Then there is a brewery in Bradenton, Florida called Motorworks Brewing, mm-hmm. and they have teamed up with some a shelter, mm-hmm. and on their cans they put pictures of dogs that need homes. And they've already adopted some dogs out that way. It says on there where to contact, and here's the dog. It is the cutest thing in the world. Actually, there's a whole row of these that all look like little pit bulls that need homes.
That's so fabulous.
I think that's such a cool way of doing it.
People are doing so many great things with their pets, and I'll probably watch the Super Bowl game tomorrow. But I mainly watch for the commercials
Me
and
too.
Halftime. But also, and I always wait for the Budweiser commercials with
yes.
the horses and the puppy. But this year there is a new commercial type that we haven't seen before. And it's from a grateful, individual that, his dog was saved, by a veterinary school and oncology department. And so he's posting a $6 million commercial to just talk about veterinary medicine and the great things that people are doing.
Exactly. It's going to be wonderful.
So on that upbeat note, we're going to say goodbye. We'll see you next time with more Pet Talk.
What's up, guys? I'm Candace Dillard-Bassett, and you may know me from my time on The Real Housewives of Potomac or as a part of the latest cast of The Traitors.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus.
On our podcast, Undomesticated, we don't just say the quiet parts out loud. We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you into the chaos.
If you're ready for bold takes, real talk, and a little fun, come join us.
Listen to and follow Undomesticated, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.